Our next guest is quite the accomplished golfer himself. Mike Modano, kind enough to join us on the line, the Hall of Famer. Hey, Mike, thanks for doing this. You better than Savvy? Do you know Savvy's game?
I've never seen Savvy's game. I've heard about it, but some rumors floating out there that it's not a bad game.
Yeah, what's your cap at now? I read online you're sub two, you're one-ish.
One-ish, yeah. I don't know. This Park City, Utah might cut into that this winter, so sticks are kind of going away. We got some snow this morning, so time to get the skis out and start skiing instead of golfing. I think it's good for my game. Take a nice long break, though.
Do you ever look at what Tony Romo's doing and think, man, maybe if I had hung him up a little bit earlier, I could have tried to do the same thing?
I'm sure he wishes he was still playing.
Yeah,
football, that is. But Tony and I have played a ton together and against each other. He's got some good game too. So I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to kind of try this whole senior thing when he turns 50. He's got some time left to kind of get it together, but that senior PGA tour is probably the toughest tour to make.
Yeah. Is Tony Romo annoying to play golf with though? Because I have friends who, you know, that they get really excited about things. Like if he's anything like he is in the broadcast booth, they'd be like, oh, Mike, here's how this is how I think you should play this ball. And just you're like, man, please just give me like 5 seconds to just think on my own, Tony. Please just give me some breathing room.
He's exactly like that on the golf course. Yeah. Play by play for 4 hours. Yeah. You know, God, I had a flyer. It sat down. It didn't break. I'm like, oh, I mean, you know, after a couple minutes, it refers back to Tony. You know, Tony this, Tony that. God, I just missed this. I can't get my game. You know, like, oh, 4 hours. I'm like, just like in the booth with Nance. I'm sure Dan struggles with it too.
Well, we're excited to hear about your golf game, and Tony Romo, like actually finding out that you play with him is an added boon. But the main reason we were trying to link up last week is Jason Spezza. He had a pretty tough go to the start of his career with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He gets sat by Mike Babcock in his home opener, a place where he's from, and with, you know, family supposedly in attendance against his former club. And I wonder if, you know, that story had caught your attention and if you empathized at all with Jason Spezza in that spot, given your history with Mike Babcock, your relationship obviously being from Detroit, and how your career ended with Mike Babcock.
I knew that question was going to come up, but I felt for Jason especially. I mean, that's just hard. As you get older, you have you know, scenarios that play out that maybe you thought shouldn't play out at the time. And, you know, you get your little moment in the sun back home and enjoy that home opener. And, you know, likewise with me, I enjoyed Mike at the first part of the year. And then I got injured. They kind of got out of the system and then, you know, fought my way back. And then, yeah, it was a tough pill to swallow to kind of miss one of the last three games to get 1500. So yeah, it's a bitter pill, but you know, for some reason, some way, that was his decision. And, you know, now you got to live with it the rest of your life.
Do you think Mike treated you fairly?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a unique, experience. I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time in Detroit. I wish I, you know, could have had spent some more time there. I would have loved to extend, after a year, but I think my time in the game, you know, mentally, I was kind of getting worn out. I put a lot into that training to get ready for Detroit. You know, they're at the time, they were pretty fast, very fit team. You know, they're in the best shape ever. These guys work out all day. Their practices are some of the fastest practices I've ever been a part of. So by the time mid-November came around, I finally felt like I got my legs. I was catching up and everything felt well. And then, you know, got that skate across my wrist, and that kind of shut it down. So after that, I was just playing catch up. And then you know, get into the end of the season, you're jockeying for playoff spots. I mean, I think that was the end of the rope for me. I knew mentally I was done. Motivationally, I was just, that was it. I knew as soon as that season was over, I was retiring.
Yeah, it just, it is so bizarre, though, to look back on. Like, honestly, even when we were thinking about this, because, yeah, man, the Spezza thing happened and we rehash it. And yeah, you're arguably the greatest U.S.-born player of all time, and you're from that area, and you were clearly, you know, you were that close to such a significant milestone. And yeah, it just, it's really difficult to understand. And I think that it kind of crops up the major fear that people have about Mike Babcock in this market. And it's not that, you know, that he can't be sentimental or something along those lines. It's that, do you think that when he makes his mind up about something that you can change it or that people can change it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he has a certain way, and once he thinks it through and has a decision, I mean, he'll take other people's opinions, but I think it's just in the back of his mind, he knows what he's going to do, and that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, his track record's been pretty good, you know, obviously. So, I mean, he has that, the credentials and everything to kind of make those type of decisions. But, yeah, I think he, in the back of his mind, he knows his decision, and he's going to – nothing's going to deter from that, from his – the way he makes his mind up, and that's it.
Talking to Mike Modano, your former teammate from that Red Wings team, Hedrick Zetterberg, had this quote a couple of years ago. Actually, I think it was last year. He found a way to push me into an I'm going to show you kind of thing. Not everyone, I think, can handle it. Was that your experience as well? And what type of player does that benefit? And is there a type of player where that's just like, that's not going to work?
You know, I would say Babcock and Hitchcock have a lot of similarities. I think I just was younger and I could deal with it. I think, you know, you're kind of new to that type of philosophy and, you know, type of mind games that you played at an early age when Hitch came in when I was about 27. So, yeah, it changed things. I mean, as you get older, you know the mind games, you know the tricks, you know the verbiage, everything kind of, you know the tricks of the game as far as what coaches play, as far as a mental, approach to it and try to, you know, get under guys' skin. Some guys can handle it, some guys can't, you know. I think with Hitch, I was a little bit of a, you know, couldn't handle it at start with Bob Gainey and Hitch. And then after a while, I just kind of, you know, you become a little, you succumb to the pressure and the intensity that, hey, you got to do this in order for us to be successful. And, you know, change your game, add this to it, do this and do that. You know, there really was no guarantees until we started having some success and winning. You're like, wow, you know, I find like I'm having the puck a lot. I'm getting more opportunities. I'm in certain situations in the game that I never thought I could be in late in the game, or pull the goalie, or taking faceoffs in our own zone, or even penalty kill, to say the least. So, yeah, I mean, at, you know, at an early age, I think guys can handle it. You go out there and play, and, you know, it kind of rolls off your back. And as you get older, you're like, you know, I've heard this song and dance. It's a broken record. You know, deal with me like a normal human.
Yeah, I think this is the fear that, again, some people have here, is that the team is really capped out. They're really top heavy. And so it's going to rely on finding, you know, diamonds in the rough and veterans who are willing to come here on a league minimum. And it just, it's becoming more and more apparent that it seems like it's going to be more difficult for that level of recruitment, especially with older players, if Mike Babcock is still here. Do you think that's fair?
You know, I think that's kind of been what's happened in the past. I mean, I think with Detroit, you know, I think guys who were veterans in Detroit just had been there for a long time. Chelios, Draper, you know, Cleary, you know, even, you know, Zetterberg, Datsuk, they've been there for a long time. They like playing there. They like being a part of the Red Wing, you know, tradition and everything that comes with it. You know, so I think they had a lot of success, obviously, and they wanted to finish a career in Detroit. I think, you know, things may have changed if they played elsewhere and trying to finish a career and come back. But, you know, the track record in Detroit, they seem to be able to get a lot of older guys towards the end of their career. They come there and they just find this fountain of youth, you know, with Hulley and Robitaille and those guys that used to come back and play for a few years, and they have this, you know, energized feel to them. But I think with this day and age, with the way guys can move around and, you know, the salaries and the leverage players have nowadays, it's just hard to see that type of scenario play out anymore.
Yeah, I think it's especially hard when you don't have that track record of actually winning too, associated with the Leafs like you did with the Red Wings. Like the organizational structure has obviously been a little bit different. You're someone who draws a lot of comparables to Austin Matthews. especially, you know, you look at your early career and just finding success as a goal scorer and as an offensive player who had, you know, high expectations, was a first overall pick. Now we're kind of pivoting to this point where Matthews is a terrific goal scorer, but people are starting to look at more from him when it comes to having a more complete 200-foot game. And that kind of started to click for you, you know, once you hit around like 25, 26, I think you started getting Selke votes. Do you remember kind of putting in like real work to make that happen? Like what shifted for you where you kind of all of a sudden became, yeah, a pretty dominant 200-foot player and more responsible defensively?
I think that's when Hitch came in. You know, Bob's always been there, Ganey, and he kind of influenced that type of kind of player. And we had Doug Jarvis, who obviously was a great two-way player. And, you know, so there's a lot of guys around me that, you know, had that type of career. And so, I mean, once Hitch kind of came on board, I think we all kind of gathered around and talked about it. And, you know, had mentioned that, you know, this is how it's going to be. We're going to play you against the other team's top lines. You're going to be taking faceoffs. You're going to be doing penalty kill. And I think the penalty kill was one of the best learning tools as far as, you know, being good in your own zone, stopping and starting and facing the puck and getting your sticks and passing lanes and not being too, you know, not too being too on the offensive, because you got to obviously kill the penalty first before anything happens. So you were able to have a little structure to your game, and it kind of carried over to the 5-on-5 as a center down low. You can kind of do a lot of the same things and support one another. So that kind of trickled into my 5-on-5 game. And then, you know, obviously the faceoffs were important, and you know, so he kind of just kind of gave me the reins. And then you know, we just, it was exciting. You knew you're going to play against Yzerman, Sakic, you know, Fedorov, all these guys, Forsberg, and you know, you knew you're going to go head to head. And that was, you know, a lot of motivation and excitement to kind of get ready for games at the time. So it was something that you ended up thriving for about and getting excited for.
Mike, this was great. Thanks so much for taking the time for us, and good luck on, I guess, the ski season now, and then golf season next year. Thanks for this, Mike.
Yeah, look forward to it. Anytime, guys.